Hello? I know you're there. Look, I can see the lights of the TV. Please, I just want to watch the finale. Come on, guys, I'll give you a foot massage or anything.
Time to get your own fibre? Speak to Vox. Because for a limited time period, you can save up to 3,000 Rand in installation costs. And we'll send a technician to help you get set up.
Hello?
Go to vox.co.za. Get fibre to your home. Get free installation and activation. Open the door to endless entertainment.
T's and C's apply.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Rivonia today to talk to the acting CEO of Internet of Things network operator Squidnet, Patizwe Malinga, about the IoT space in South Africa, as well as the company's competition for university students to develop interesting and useful IoT solutions. Patizwe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You recently took the reins at Squidnet from Reshad Shah, who has taken over as CEO of Liquid Telecom in South Africa. Were you in the business already or part of parent Dark Fiber Africa before taking on this role?
I was already in the business. I joined Squidnet in June as the Chief Solutions Officer. I was already an executive director within the company, so just flowed in from that.
What is your background?
My background's IT, so I'm a software development, let's call it expert, because you start off as a dev to project manager, etc., and that's kind of my background. I spent the last 10 years before coming to Squidnet at the Life Healthcare Group, just setting up their software.
All right. So this is your first job in the telecommunications field, is it?
Second. Okay. I had a stint with MTN with their billing system back in 2005, being part of that project.
Okay. So you know the industry quite well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, for those listeners who are hearing about Squidnet for the first time, you're the local network partner, implementation partner for France's Sigfox. Sigfox is one of a number of IoT technologies being rolled out in the South African market. The mobile operators, for example, are deploying something called NB or narrowband IoT. How does the Sigfox technology work, and how is it different to the other offerings that are out there?
Okay, so Sigfox is an ultra narrowband technology, and I think of that as the opposite of broadband. So quite the direct opposite side, where our cell phones like 4G, 5G would be the broadband. This one is super slim. It operates in the ISM band. The ISM band is the industrial, scientific, and medical band. What makes it important to operate out of that band is it's free to operate out of that band from ICASA. It is really regulated by ICASA. That brings the cost of enablement for both us and our customers quite low.
You operate around the 800 megahertz range.
We do. We're in the 868 megahertz. Sigfox France has classified these as the zone one, which is Europe, and there's about 5 to 7 bands globally.
So this is not a band that's typically used for Wi-Fi. That's usually 2.5 and 5.8 gigahertz.
That is correct.
You're deploying at 868.
We're deploying at 868.
868. Okay. What has that been used for historically?
Historically, it's used for industrial, scientific, and medical stuff. So your emergencies and your ambulances would use it, and also for research.
Yeah.
It's a free to air radio band.
Yeah.
There have been encroachers on it, like people who broadcast that. They have something starting at a particular time, but those are in violation because you cannot broadcast quite broadly. You have to use it very sparingly.
So it's analog broadcasters. You're broadcasting where they shouldn't be broadcasting.
Absolutely. So generally, ICASA's good.
Yeah.
When Sigfox enters a country, the first thing that they do is they approach the government and they make sure that that spectrum is clean and is being used for what is intended. Mm-hmm. And then we build our business model from there.
Yeah. So you're operating in a very thin sliver of spectrum between the TV broadcasters and the mobile operators, which are sitting around 900.
Absolutely, absolutely. So very, very thin. But because we're ultra narrowband, we're actually scale friendly. So the more devices that we have operating on the 868 is actually the better for us.
Explain that.
The technology that we deploy uses what we call geolocation. So besides it having GPS, you can get quite accurate on a device just by using what we call geolocation. It's a machine learning technology that is Sigfox. But it also learns from GPS devices. So the more GPS devices that are out on the field, the better that the non-GPS devices start performing. So when we deploy a base station, we anticipate 2 million, but we operate it as if only 1 million are going to come onto the device.
Devices, yeah. IoT devices.
IoT devices. And in the country, we've deployed over 600. So
600 base stations.
600 base stations. Oh, wow. So that would mean then it's at least 600 million devices that we're ready for.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So what is the difference? What are the key technical differences between Sigfox and, say, NB-IoT, which the mobile operators are deploying, and some of the other ones that are out there?
If you imagine broadband and the characteristics of broadband being three, being data usage, being cost, and being power, at the top end of the spectrum, you would be using a lot of that. You'd be using something that would be very data hungry, sending videos and images, making voice calls and keeping calls connected. And that would be our mobile phones. Just below that, there is a little spectrum called LTEM, which is still a powered device, like robots, traffic lights, if you have international listeners. that would use this LTEM spectrum, just a little less on the data, and so a little less on the cost, but still high on the power. The mobile operators they've tried to go a bit lower than that, and they've invented narrowband IoT. And in narrowband IoT, they're envisaging things like cities being connected in a way where it's battery powered stuff. So now you start getting into the mode of moving vehicles, telemetry, etc. But it's still at a very high cost because the data rate is still high. So they've managed to sort out the power in NB-IoT, but the data rate's still quite high. We live in a place that we call low power WAN, and we think the highest data user of that is LoRa. So LoRa is a device where they give you the technology for you to deploy within a city or within a private residence or within a mine, and they use low power. So they're great for low power, they're great for data rates, and they're great for cost, but they're very city-based. Like they run a LAN.
Right.
And then we are the global equivalent of that, and our power comes from running a WAN, not only in South Africa, but wherever our device is used. If it's a Sigfox country, it just works in that country. So we're at that lowest band. So we bring in low cost, we bring in super low power. And by low power, we're talking about something that should be about a week to about 15 days. Oh, sorry, 15 years.
Which is a bit longer years. Than your average smartphone.
A bit longer than your average smartphone, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so this Sigfox technology that's being deployed, it's proprietary technology, right? But you can develop for it.
Yes, it is an open ecosystem and that we run, and we believe that as Squidnet, we are building an open access IoT ecosystem. It has to be based on a standard, we believe, because of the millions of devices, and Sigfox is the standard that we've chosen. So it's proprietary in terms of the standard. It's Sigfox maintaining that standard, but it's not closed in terms of what you can do with it or asking for permission.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, I've heard some mention that 5G is going to incorporate IoT. Is that correct?
It would be, but back to our data rate and cost and power scale, 5G is even more than our cell phones. What 5G tries to do is just they try to solve the problem of real-time automation. So mm-hmm. if you imagine a car hurtling down the road being self-driven, you want it to have no latency mm-hmm. whatsoever. And 5G is built for no latency. So they are definitely in the IoT space, but the opposite end of yeah. us.
So is there space in the market for all of these different technologies?
Absolutely. We work with system integrators. There's some great system integrators in the country, and most of your viewers are probably using these systems integrators. And what they do is they, when building a solution, they look at the case and they use a combination of the technologies. We just believe because we are low cost, we'll yeah. end up with the lion's share of IoT devices.
Right.
But a good IoT deployment has to take into account that context, and sometimes video is required.
Okay. So how you mentioned the 600 base stations. How extensive is the SquidNet network right now? What sort of geographic and population coverage do you offer?
So population coverage that we offer right now is we are at 83% of the population. 83% of the population. We've always tried to go for 85%. That's a contractual obligation that we have to Sigfox. And so that has been our target. So we're very close to our target, and therefore we view our coverage as nationwide. That percentage of the population lives on about 30% of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we will attend to the other bits on a case-by-case basis. So if you live out in the middle of the Karoo and you have a farm and your prided cow Bessie is the only thing that you will be deploying for, we'll come out and we'll make sure Bessie can be seen.
I'd imagine, I mean, I was chatting to Vox CEO Jacques Detoy yes. a week or two back, and I know yes. he's a partner of yes. SquidNets, and they're rolling out all sorts of stuff in the agricultural space that he's quite excited about.
Absolutely.
But I imagine that it's these areas there where the coverage is not necessarily as good as in the more urban areas. Yeah. You know, farms can be very remote.
Yeah, and I suppose to give a bit of a context to when we say remote, what do we mean by remote? So we are in all the metro areas, we are in all the cities, all 11 of them. We are in all the peri-urban and in the urban, and we're in the rural as well, over 267 towns. And then we're on the national highways, the major highways. And so what ends up getting left is a farm that has very good security that refuses access to any human being because of the prized assets that they have there. So when we say no coverage, we don't mean because you live out in a farm, you won't have coverage.
Mm.
You might have coverage. If there's people walking around, you probably do.
Yeah.
But if you've designed your farm that you don't want people walking around, then you won't have coverage.
So if I'm a Miliboor from the Southern Free State, are the chances quite good that I'd
very,
be
able very good, very
pick,
good.
Pick up signal?
Very good. We usually say you can hop onto our website, squidnet.com/coverage,
yeah.
and on that you can see a fair representation of what we cover, and you can kind of zoom into your corner of the world and make sure it's green.
And I'd imagine some of these IoT devices are going to be deployed in rather unusual places, potentially places where signal can't penetrate too easily. Yes. What do you do in that sort of environment?
Well, that's the beauty of ultra narrowband. We can go from what was previously maybe 5 or 10 meters penetrable down to about 3 floors without you needing to do anything extraordinary. We are working on indoor coverage, and that's what we're going to be spending this year on. But if you are in a mine, say you're in a shaft in the below, I don't know how many meters you go below a mine, we do provide a technology called repeaters. And these repeaters are quite self-contained to make sure that any device that's in or any device that's tracking an asset
yeah.
that's within is covered and then gets out to the top. As well.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So it could be, I mean, some of these gold mining shafts here in around Gauteng are
absolutely,
pretty
absolutely.
Deep.
I do like to once in a while stretch my imagination. I was reading a few days ago that the panning of gold seems to be back. It's now you're now allowed to mine what was previously illegal mining because of the wars that they had. Now they don't. So I always imagine these gold panners now starting to use our technology because they will be going down and make sure that they're safe.
Yeah. So what are some of the more interesting applications for the Sigfox technology that you've seen in the South African market so far?
The South African market is of course, with the crimes that we have and the violent crimes, we see a lot of uptake in the security and in location tracking and any goods in transit kind of mode. So we see a big uptake there. And they're generally worried about two things when they look at that. They're worried, first of all, that this thing must be absolutely safe. I must know when it's being stolen. And then they worry about if it is a fridge and making sure that it's still on for things like medicines and other cold chain like fruits and vegetables. What we found interesting in the security side of it, which is the location tracking side of it, is we found that the Sigfox technology in the South African context is not jammable. Our general car thief will, when hijacking you, stick a apparatus into your cigarette lighter that blocks any signal, any radio signal from going out. And the first to suffer, of course, is your cell phone, because they do not want you to contact your security. Mm-hmm. And your car's tracker should not contact the tracking company that you're signed up to. So we find that there's great interest in our technology because it's so ultra narrowband, it's hard to block. So we're starting to see good applications in that space, which is uniquely South African in terms of the uptake.
Interesting. Any other interesting examples that you can share?
We have quite a few. One of my favorite stories is one where we got called out by a farmer who lives in one of these areas where he's got prized stock,
yeah.
and he waters the stock using water troughs. But of course, the water troughs are very far, and he drives out almost daily. You know, you don't want your livestock to starve or die of thirst, so to make sure that they're full. But you get there and there is water, and you get there and there is water. So we've seen a deployment where using a company down in Cape Town, they developed a device that goes into the water trough and checks the water level, and in this remotest of locations, lets the farmer know if the water is running low. And on the second or third day of the first implementation of this, of course, the water disappeared. Not went low, the water disappeared. So we went out and we found that the water trough had disappeared, the whole device had disappeared. We looked for
the IoT device.
Our IoT device, using our geolocation, we looked for it. We found it is in the area, and we tracked it down to a family of baboons. So when deploying these devices out in the remote areas, take into account that these baboons are very curious animals. So we have a very well tracked baboon out in the wild.
That's hilarious. All right, let's talk a bit about this university challenge that you have, you announced it a few weeks back now. It's to try and encourage South African universities and university students specifically to develop Internet of Things solutions to address specific challenges facing the African continent, socioeconomic challenges, I
Absolutely.
Think. So to tell us a bit about the program, and a friend of this podcast, actually, I know Andrew Fraser, has been quite closely involved in this project.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about the program and the competition and how it works.
Okay. So we are of quite privileged at DFA being Squidnet employees to having to play with this technology. And one of the first things that we realized is how simple it is to put together a solution, and we started wondering what can our future do with such technology if only they had access to it. And we have embarked on a few campaigns, you know, Sigfox Days, getting people in who are in a startup phase, like entrepreneurs, etc. And they have been very successful. They've come in on a day. In one day, they learn how to use a dev kit, how to come up with a program. And we've taken that further, and they've on a second day learned how to build the software to run that device. And on the third day, started a business that is quite sustainable. And we thought this was was quite groundbreaking. Then we thought, how can we take this back into the education space? Because we do believe the children are our future. But more importantly, they live in our context. And I think as South Africans, we need to build our own solutions. So this challenge is about giving access to tomorrow's leaders to this technology that is not only simple, but I think is quite a, it will allow us to leapfrog and catch up as the fourth industrial revolution prays we do. So the university challenge is really about that. We decided to constrain it to the 17 SDGs that the UN has, the Sustainable Development Goals a country should have. So they worry about things like no hunger, you know, water for all. And in our context, one of my favorite ones is safe cities and smart cities. You know, cities that are sustainable, that your children and your children's children and my children's children can find the world, if not in the condition that we found it, better than in the condition that we found it. And we thought this technology is quite well suited to that. Let's give it out to the universities and let's see what they can do.
Okay, so what do they get?
So they, when they come in, we ask them to first of all be in university. I think it's very important for the university challenge. We will have further challenges where you don't have to be in university. For this one, you have to be. Be with mates. So we'd like you not to come through as one person, but as a team. So you may be a couple of students in engineering. We do encourage that you get another student from another faculty, because then you get to think diversely. What they'll get from us is they'll get a dev kit. Mm-hmm. They will get coverage. So they don't need to worry about that dev kit connecting. And then they will get mentoring. We will offer mentoring from South Africa and from France. So we want to make sure that they get access to the brains behind this technology.
This is to everyone who takes part.
This is to everyone who takes part. Yes, okay. This is to everyone who takes part. And on our side, we'll do lots of hand-holding. Mm-hmm. And the reason we want to hand-hold is we are extremely interested in what they're building. And we want to make sure that they don't go down the wrong road. At the end of it, there is a little bit of a financial incentive. It's by no means going to make the fees fall, but it will it will make a few things lighter for the students. Right. I think we've put up about 20,000 rand for the first prize. But they will also then get an opportunity to go out to France to meet the makers of SickFox. And there is an IoT Valley in France that has investors who are willing to hear the winner of this competition and see if they can commercialize it.
Mm. So the winner gets to go to France?
The winner gets, or the winning team. To go, just in case they start jockeying for who's leader.
All right, and closing date is next month, is it? Or July?
The closing date
25 July, I seem to recall.
Yes. Mm. I think I have to just refresh my memory there just to make sure that I'm right. Sorry. The closing dates for the entries is the 27th of May.
Oh, 27 May.
Yes.
So that's,
and then the project submission is 25 July.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So if you want to submit, you're almost out of time.
And I think what's important now is you don't have to solve the problem. I think you're in a university, hear this podcast, grab a couple of mates, know you're going to get a dev kit, talk about ideas about what can you do to make South Africa a better place. Maybe you can stop kids from falling into pit latrines and come up with some kind of solution towards that. And then you've got until 25 July to make
These are students we're talking about. They're going to come up with solutions for free beer or something. So
they actually were quite successful in that. No, I joke. You're so right, Duncan. We will steer them towards the 17 SDGs.
Okay. Do they get to keep the dev kits afterwards?
They do. They do. And we will, for every university that's participating, we will on our own accord try and get closer to that university so it lives beyond just the challenge.
Okay. Now, if they come up with business ideas here and something that can actually turn into, and a lot of businesses come out of universities, of course, some of the biggest companies in the world.
Yes.
Do they own the intellectual property and what they come up with?
That is up to the university, unfortunately. Oh. So from our side, we will not take part in the IP.
Okay.
And some universities, because they're on school grounds, may have a joint IP relationship or will fully own that. They're already bound by that law, so they should just check in their application pack what it states. But from a SigFox and SquidNet, we are not going to take any ownership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you're a student interested in this, probably check your university before.
Absolutely.
You sign away all your...
And your professor will know. Your professor. And in fact, most of the master's students, that's the first thing that they try and challenge.
I'm sure. Great stuff. Look forward to seeing some of the solutions that these students come up with. We'll have a chat, no doubt, later in the year about that. Patizwe Malinga is acting CEO of SquidNet. Thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you, Duncan.